Good morning to each one. It's good to be here with you this morning. Looking to the Word of God. Thought about it when you said, when you introduced me, Victor, that this will be the last time I come to you from the 4th Avenue congregation. Because we found another building and we're moving and it's no longer on 4th Avenue. So we're going to have to change our name. So you'll have to know us as something different. And I don't know what that is yet. So in the process of trying to decide those things. But it is good to be here with you. And you'll have all the more reason to come see us, Lord willing. Because there should be more room, but hopefully the fellowship is just as close. Well, for a message this morning, looking for some inspiration, I went out to my garden last night, and I do like to garden. Some of you know I like to garden, and I was really, really disappointed because earlier in the week I had made the statement that I think I'm growing the best cucumbers I've ever grown because they looked really, really, really nice. And it's not that cucumbers are my favorite vegetable necessarily. Once they're pickled, they're pretty good. But I was really disappointed. I went out last night because I thought they probably needed to be picked again and was trying to decide when. And suddenly, the blight had set in. And a third of the plants, maybe not quite, but ones that had looked beautiful before had so quickly starting to wilt. And it seems like it happens just overnight. And you're not sure how... I'm not sure how I got there, although I'd seen a little bit the other day, and I immediately ripped out the two plants I saw it on because I didn't want to get it on the rest, and I made sure when I picked the plants, I ended up at that end instead of going the other way, so I didn't take the blight with me as I went, and it still didn't work. There it was. And I just thought about that a little bit, and I thought about that in relation to the message I want to talk about this morning because I want to talk about thriving relationships. That's what I want to talk about. And I thought about how good and wonderful our relationships are, and yet how quickly something can happen sometimes, and it can change overnight. And so I've been thinking a lot about this subject because we want to have really, really good relationships. With cucumbers, if it doesn't work out, I can always hope for another year and replant. And with relationships, sometimes it gets so bad you can't fix it or seem to fix it, and we don't want to let that happen. And I think about congregations that were split in half and church businesses that shut down because two people couldn't get along anymore. And probably worst of all is individuals that end up in a divorce because they couldn't continue their relationship anymore because they let something come into the middle of it. And we don't want to let that happen. We want to have marriages that last. We want to have homes where the children are always happy to get together even after they're 50 years old. And we want to have especially church congregations where we love each other and we can get along and we can work through name changes without having to end in two different camps. That's what we're trying to work through right now at 4th Avenue. And I think it's going to be okay when it's all said and done. But it is interesting how people have opinions about what you should have. So I like to just move into a message, and the purpose of this message is not to promote something new, but to remind ourselves of godly principles that help us to cultivate good patterns in our relationships. And this is more than just focusing on doing good deeds for each other. We actually want to focus on what are our good patterns, what are good principles that we can follow so that our relationships can be strengthened. Did you know that you were made for relationships? In the beginning, when you look in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, the beginning of time, after God made Adam, he immediately started looking for someone else to be with him. And he got Adam to name all the animals, and he found out that they weren't suitable. And so he created Eve. He made him an helpmeet. Seems to me that we were made for relationships. And then as Adam and Eve moved on from there, I don't know if they grew in their relationship or not. It was perfect, so maybe it started out perfect. I don't know. But they continued to walk with God. And every day, they walked with God, and God came and talked with them. What a beautiful relationship. But we were made for relationships. Go over to Matthew chapter 22. I don't know if you want to use this for a text verse or a springboard, a place to start from. Matthew 22, read verse 36 to 40. And this is why this is such an important topic, because the greatest commandments that God gave to us that we need to fulfill, the greatest things, is simply a thermometer of our relationships. Matthew 22:36, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So all the other laws hang on these two laws, hang on this thought that we need to have a vibrant relationship with God. We need to be ready to obey and to love and to serve him with all our heart, soul, and mind. And the second one is do the same thing with your neighbor. So all the commandments in the scriptures, all the things that we want to do to follow God, all hinge on how we're getting along with each other, interpersonal relationship. This is where all the life is. This is where the joy is. This is also where all the pain comes in. You know, we can do up with a lot of other discomforts in life. We can live our whole life long and never live in a new house, and it's okay. But you can't live your whole life with broken relationships and it be okay. You can live anywhere and be just as happy if you have these things in place. There's a number of commandments in the New Testament that focus on this as well. And what I'd like to do is actually read a number of different verses, different passages, jump around a little bit, and then just look at the principles rather than giving a lot of points as we go along. Sometimes we give a principle and some verses to go with it. But 1 John 4, verse 19, shows us the importance of this. And I wanted to say in the beginning, I'm not sharing this because I feel like I have it put together. I'm sharing this because I'm trying to learn to continue to grow in this subject. And it seems like one about the time you think you have it figured out, something else comes up and you wonder how you got there. So we want to keep growing. And so this is the reason why I want to keep looking at this. 1 John 4, verse 19, and I'll read down to verse 21. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. So here he's talking about relationships again, and he says, how can you say you love God if you don't love your brother who's sitting beside you? We can't say we have a relationship with God if we don't with each other. 1 Peter 4, it's not very far away. 1 Peter 4, verse 7 to 10. But the end of all things is at hand. We studied that this morning. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent charity among yourself, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. So the very first thing he talks about is love. He said, the end times are coming. Love each other. Most important thing. Verse 9, use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So he says, love each other. Use hospitality with each other. If you have something, give it out to somebody again. Be a good steward of the grace that God has given you. God's given it to you, hand it back out to each other. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12 to 15. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. And it seems here, as soon as he starts talking about how we need to live, one of the main things he always just focuses on is loving each other and being kind to each other and showing mercy to each other and forgiving and having meekness and forbearing. And good relationships don't just happen. They take work. And there's always lots for us to do to make these things happen. Romans chapter 12, he talks about the members and many members. I'm going to be reading a number of different ones here because I'm going to bring thoughts from all of these. Verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. You know, you can't have a body without many members. You can't just have a body with one member. It takes many members to make it work. So we can't go off on our own and be our own church. That's not a body anymore. So just thinking about that. For as we have many members in one body, all the members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints. Given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless them and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Well, We're not all the same. We have a lot of different functions in the body, a lot of different responsibilities, a lot of different gifts, and they're not all the same. Some people you'd rather hear up front than others because some people have a gift that other people don't. There's other people that you would, if the light bulb needs straightened out in the church, you'll give them the job. That's all that happened this morning. Some people just know how to put some things together and other people don't. And you know, we were talking about this. A committee that we're going to need to have for someone to go over this new building and make sure things are in order. You know there's certain people that have gifts in those areas, and you want them on that committee because they're going to be able to make things happen. They've been to City Hall before, and they know how to get the permits pulled to make things happen. So you want those people with those gifts. And we can draw on the gifts of each other to make our relationships better. And we can lift those up. But, you know, through it all, still has to be lots of kindness and distributing and blessing and loving and forgiving. And he even says sometimes we have to show mercy. You do it with cheerfulness. All these different things are part of our relationships. In Ephesians 4, verse 2, I'll just read that. And with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. For there is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So we're all called to the same thing, so let's get along with each other in all lowliness and meekness. Ephesians chapter 4 also talks about being members one of another. There's just so many different places in the New Testament you can go to. It says, don't let bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, put all those things away. Don't keep a hold of the habits in your life that make it hard for people to love you. Put those things away. And it takes other people to tell us sometimes that we have those things. Sometimes you work and work and you think that some of those sins of your youth aren't with you anymore. But after a while, someone comes along and says, you still trample over other people. You're still too black and white, or you're still this or that. And you're like, I thought I outgrew that a long time ago. Now we have to keep on working on those things. Verse 32 in that passage says, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. It just comes up again and again and again. For relationships to work, there's going to have to be forgiveness. And we'll look a little bit more at that later. Thought about looking at 1 Corinthians 12. I think we looked at enough already, but there he talks about more about being members of one body. Christ is part of this body. We're all part of this body. And we can't say to each other we don't need each other. Each one of us has an important part to play, and we can't be tearing that apart. But instead, we need to care for each other. If you stub your toe, you don't just cut it off. Say, you stubbed the toe. You made the whole body hurt. Now we can't get done what we want to get done. We're just going to cut it off. You don't cut your arm off if you break it. No, the rest of the body cares for it and tries to take care of it, and you bring it back to healing because you know you're going to need that arm later on. You even need your toes to help keep your balance. We don't just get rid of the parts that bring us pain. We try to bring them all together. Have you ever wished that someone wasn't part of your life? Maybe they caused you too much stress. They brought demands on your life that you didn't want them to bring on, or they were unpleasant to be around. I think we've all met individuals sometimes where, do I have to keep working with this person? You know, maybe it's an employee or a coworker or something, and they bring enough. Life would just be so much smoother around here if we wouldn't have them anymore. You know, we've all been that person, probably, to somebody. If you stop and think about it, it's probably somebody that felt the same way about us at some point or another. So let's be slow about passing judgment, especially in the church, especially in the family, about passing judgment on each other, because, you know, we want people to give us that grace to us. We need to extend it to others. That's one of my points here later on. I've often observed that some of the ones that we think to be the weakest in the body sometimes are the strongest. We look at them. Sometimes their faith is the strongest. Maybe they don't have as much. Maybe they don't have as many gifts. But oftentimes, the more we have, the less we need God. And the less we have, the more we need God. And you see, I see that coming out in people's lives, that when they're struggling, if they've given their heart to God, when they're struggling, they're often much closer to God. After all, Jesus said that poor people get to heaven easier than rich people. So let's not look down on people of less material or earthly value as we see it. We need to see it how God sees it. I think we should pray more for the people who have it all put together than the people who don't seem to have it all put together. Well, I'm going to have a number of different points now on what did we learn from these verses on relationships. What ingredients must there be? And first of all, the first one I have is presence. We simply have to be there. We have to be present. These relationships, you can see that they're not talking about people that are going off by themselves. You don't forgive. You don't show love. You can't be kind if you're not with somebody. You can't be kind. You can't do so many of these things. And we have to be there in order to have a relationship. You don't have a relationship with people you don't know. I mean, you might know who the president is. You might know a lot even about his personality. You don't have a relationship with them. I saw this played out, I think, in about any field. There's people that are good at what they do, and they've learned to make videos, and they post them on YouTube, and they get a following. And I went to a trade show, and I had watched some videos of this man doing tree work, because that's what we do, and just to learn different techniques and stuff. When you show up there and you talk to him, you feel like you know him. And other people I see feel like they know him. He doesn't have a clue who you are. He doesn't have any kind of context, because there's no relationship. And it was kind of a unique situation when there's, and I suppose it's that way for a lot of celebrities, people feel like they know them. You don't have a relationship with somebody unless you're exchanged going both ways in the relationship. Less time puts more distance. More time puts less distance, or it should. So that means we have to take time away from our job, from our hobby, from our career, from our email or text or phones or whatever it is, and put more time into our relationships. That's one of the reasons why we prefer if the church community lives close together, it gets too far apart, people get spread out. They never meet each other except on a Sunday morning. It's time for something different. Maybe it's time for an outreach when the congregation gets too big. It's one of the reasons we promote that in our churches, because we want people to connect, because we know to stay together, you have to be together. The second thing I have is love. Maybe it should have been the first thing, but I put it down second, because first of all, you have to know somebody before you can show love. But as we read through a number of verses, love or charity is the most important thing. And love involves mutual respect from both parties. They respect each other. They value each other. They value each other's ideas. Maybe we don't always agree, but we appreciate when other people have opinions, even if they're polar opposite of ourselves. And we're willing to discuss them and talk about them. And no one likes to be in a relationship where other people act like you're stupid all the time, or like there's something wrong with you, or they're constantly picking on you or bullying you. We do not enjoy those relationships because there's no love. There's no charity there. And we value each other. We appreciate each other. And even if we come to the table and we're completely opposite of each other, we try to say, okay, so why did he end up in that position? And why am I way over here? And how can we agree on this? Or how can we come to a place of mutual understanding? And it takes a lot of love. And that's like oil in a machine. You know, you get a machine and all the parts can be an engine, say, and everything can be machined perfectly and fit together perfectly. If you don't put some oil in there, it's not going to last. Because we know that as the parts move against each other, it's going to build up heat, there's friction there, and eventually it's going to fly apart. And it's that way in our relationships. There has to be love there. There has to be the oil of love, even though in many ways we fit together. If we don't keep that love flowing, after a while, it's not going to work anymore. Love means sacrifice. Love means being willing to give something up. Just like Jesus laid down his life for us, sacrificed everything for us, we need to be willing to sacrifice pretty much everything for other people. And that can be difficult, especially for Christians. I noticed it with Christian employees and Christian employees. It seemed like the non-Christian employees made better employees than the Christian employees. And I said, why is that? Well, you know, we have higher expectations of each other, because we're both followers of Christ, so we tend to expect more out of each other. And we have to be willing not to make our expectations so high of each other. He should be showing more love. He should be showing more kindness here, forbearance here. And we need to be willing to lay that down and not require that of each other. Truthfulness. Third thing I have is truthfulness. Lie not one to another, seeing you put off the old man with his deeds. So basic, do I need to even mention it? But it's so essential. In order for there to be trust in a relationship, there has to be truthfulness. We have to show each other who we are and be willing to lay ourselves out on the table and not try to hide behind some kind of a facade. And then, you know what happens? Manipulation and control and all the things that begin to happen if we hide behind our facade, but we want to control things. We can't really put all our cards on the table, and we have to keep that trump card for when we need it. Those relationships don't work. It does not work. If we're not open and truthful, it's gonna fall to pieces. Now, I know sometimes there's information that should not be shared, because there's reasons sometimes why you don't just blab everything you know. That can be hard on relationships too. But let's be open wherever we need to be open and be willing to be told. Open communication builds rich relationships. Hiding behind facades introduces fear. Number four, moving right in, this second one kind of goes right with it, is trust. We need to be able to trust each other. Trust helps us to work more efficiently. You see that on a job site. If you can trust each other, if you can trust your gear, in our situation, we use a lot of ropes and saddles. And if you go up a tree and you're trusting the branch that you're on and you're trusting the equipment that you have, you can get a lot done. But when you're out there and you're a little worried about something, and you know at any minute you're going to have to grab on, or you're afraid you're going to have to grab on, it won't probably help anyway, but you don't get nearly as much done if you can't trust. And it's that way in relationships. You're working together. If you know you can trust each other, you know what the expectations are here, you can get a lot done. And it's that way on the job site when people, they know what to expect out of each other. They know who's good at what. They can get the job done so quickly. And yet I've seen other crews do the same job and take multiple days because there was too much fighting and bickering between them. And they didn't have each other's back. So when we hear slander about each other, do we doubt the slander? Do we say, wait a minute, is this true? You need to get your story straight. You're talking about somebody else. I don't have anything to do with it. Let's not talk about that. Or what are some things like that we can do that will build trust? Follow Matthew 18. That helps to build trust. Go and talk to the people. Maybe I should have called it commitment. We have to have commitment to each other. It takes that commitment to build that trust. But commitment and trust go hand in hand. If we want healthy, long-lasting relationships, it's kind of like a marriage where you make a promise to each other and you trust each other and you never worry about each other because you have that there. And when you get to the point where people are beginning to doubt each other, in a marriage, it's so hard to turn that thing around. Well, if we're truthful and honest and open with each other, even if there's problems, even if we fail, we can still have that trust. Commitment can still be strong because we know if there's a problem, we're going to hear about it. The fifth thing I have is forgiveness, because we are human and we will fail and we will add problems to the relationships. That will happen. We can't just have a perfect church life where nothing ever comes up. And there will be things that come up, but we need to be quick to forgive. And forgiveness means that we're willing to cancel the debt that we perceive that somebody else owes to us. Sometimes we forgive something that we're forgiving somebody of something that they didn't even do, but sometimes we have to do that because we perceive it. We perceive that someone meant to do us wrong when they didn't intend to do us wrong. And yet it just feels so much that way, but it still takes the same thing. And releasing them doesn't mean that they have to repent of what they did wrong. We have an older man that comes to our congregation and he can't get along with his brothers. He's not in the church. He simply attends the congregation, but he doesn't get along with them at all. And he's afraid that if he forgives them, that that's going to release them of their wrongdoing. And he wants them to be held accountable for their wrongdoing. And I've tried and tried to explain to him, forgiveness is for me. Forgiveness has nothing to do with anybody else, really, besides the fact that me forgiving will probably open up those relationships again and make them be more free. A wrong is still a wrong. A wrong is still between the offender and God. But we can be free. We don't have to go through life not being free because somebody somewhere did us wrong. We can be free. We stop letting the wrongs get in the way of the relationships. And as we mend the relationship, the Spirit of God still works, and oftentimes those relationships are restored simply because sometimes it takes many years. Somebody, if we go on being forgiving, the longer we go on, oftentimes the softer it will become and restitution can be found. Let's not forget, other people have to forgive us too. So let's be free with our forgiveness. Prayer. Number six, prayer. Pray for each other. If we want to have good relationships, we have to pray for each other. Are you blessing the other members in the church here in your prayers for them? Do you ask for specific things for them? And I shared this in our home congregation a number of months ago, and we just went over a number of different things in the congregation together, things that I asked them, what have we prayed for each other for? What are some of those things? And I'm sure there's prayers that you prayed for each other for here in this congregation, of hard times you went through, or things that you wanted. Maybe it was a building. You ended up here. You probably prayed about this quite a bit before. But I can't really go down through and enumerate all these things for you because I don't know what they were, but you know, you're praying for a wayward family member, or and sometimes those prayers are answered. You're praying because of a death or because of some other disappointment, and God answers those prayers. And maybe someone was going on a trip to Bangladesh, and we prayed that God would bring them back safe, and He did. And we can, you know, you're going down the list. We prayed for a school building, we prayed for a church building, and God gave us those things. We prayed for babies for some families, and God blessed us with those things too. So I don't know what your prayers are for each other here, but we need to keep praying that God would bless each other. And when we pray that God would bless somebody, we find it much easier to love them and to look for good in their lives. So if you're having a hard time loving somebody right now, probably one of the things is to think of ways that you can pray that God would bless them. And it won't be long before you'll be wanting to help God do that. So that's how those things grow. We should never be in competition with each other, unless maybe it's for the saving of souls. Maybe it's okay to be in little competition there. I don't know. As long as it isn't because of pride. But we don't need to have competition in the church. There's a certain amount of competition on the job site that sometimes is even encouraged because we want to help each other get better at what we do. But let's be careful this doesn't turn into where somebody gets put down because they're not doing it good enough. I wanted to go to John chapter 3 on this point. John 3, verse 22 to 36, because I think John the Baptist was such a good example of this. John chapter 3, verse 22. And after these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Aenon near to Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth. And all men come to him. And John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the... He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. For he that receiveth his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and he hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And here this trouble arose between Jesus and John. It never was there in John's mind. But the Jews tried to drive the wedge between them and said, John, you've been baptizing around here for a long time. There's somebody just up the river. In fact, you were the one that introduced him. And now he's baptizing people too. And there's a whole lot more people over there getting baptized than what's getting baptized over here. And John said, it's supposed to be that way. He's going to increase, I'm going to decrease. And it's supposed to be that way. And you know, it can be that way in our relationships as well. Somebody else is over there doing it better than we were doing it, and yet they got the idea from us. That's okay. We're all part of God's kingdom. Let it happen. Let it increase. They take something that we've studied hard for and go preach it somewhere else and make a better message out of it. Praise God. Praise God. Let it happen. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Number 7, put each other first. It is the golden rule. Do we have our brother's interests before our own? When a question arises, who gets to have the first answer? Who gets to have the last answer? Do we care about those things? Do we care about other people's problems? Or is it only about ourselves? Are we courteous? Are we friendly? There's just so many things that we can do, and sometimes we don't think about those things, and sometimes we need somebody else to do them for us. But just trying to be respectful around other people and look out for them and open the door for them. And some people don't do that, and you can tell that they think that they're number one, and it's not very nice to be around them when it is that way. And let's make sure that if somebody else tells us we are that way, that we hear it and change, because it does really, really help relationships. What do our relationships look like? I thought of the story. One of my friends used to like to tell this story growing up. You ever ridden on a two-seater bicycle, on them tandem bicycles? You know what I'm talking about? We picked one up somewhere along the way, have one around our house. And the story is that there were two men riding this bicycle, and they were going on this ride, and it was this long hill, and they were pedaling hard, and they finally got to the top. And the man in the front said to the man behind him, "Wow, that was a hard climb. We barely made it." The man behind him said, "Yeah, if I wasn't holding the brakes the whole time, we wouldn't have made it." Is that the way our relationships are? Where we're both trying hard and think we're doing the right thing, but we can work so hard against each other. And I know that's a little bit humorous, but when you stop and think about it sometimes, if we just stop being too proud and get our heads together a little bit, and we either quit holding the brakes, we quit holding the brakes on our brother, maybe it'll go a long ways. I found this little diagram on relationships, and I'd like to just share it with you this morning. It's not original with me, but it made a lot of sense to me. I'm going to use this board here. I just bring it a little closer so I'm not so far from the mic here. You know what that means? You see that on your phone? Add a friend, add a contact. We have these situations where people come into our lives. We have these new contacts, a new person, and meet somebody for the first time. And probably some of you can't remember when you met each other for the first time. But there's probably a number here that you do remember the first time you met each other. And what do you do first of all? You know, what's your name? So the very first thing that happens in relationships, and I'll just write here. Relationships start out as being superficial, you know, very on the surface, very light, because we know some of these people that we meet, you ask their name, you don't even remember it 5 minutes later, probably. You're probably never going to meet them again. So you think that you might sit down on an airplane or somewhere and say, "Hey, how are you doing? What's your name?" or whatever, and you move on, and that's the end of it. And so in our relationships today, even a new person comes to church, "What's your name? Who are you?" You know, and they're superficial, and that's the end of it. And that's where it's going to stop unless somebody takes it to the next level. And the next level that happens is where you begin to gather information. And where do you live? What's your job? Where do you work? What do you do? We try to find something where we might be in common, so we have something to talk about. And we start asking questions about each other. Do you know so-and-so? Oh, you work there. Do you know? I have an employee that works for me he's always said I can't take him anywhere he doesn't know somebody, and it's pretty much true, especially in our local community. But I've been surprised how many times you get an hour or two away from him, and he still finds someone that he knows. It's like, where do you work? Oh, well, then do you know so-and-so? And he has a memory that I don't have, too. But we begin to gather that information about each other, and we find something where we might have something in common, and we start to talk. Now, if either person doesn't want to do this, that relationship stops right there. It doesn't go any farther. If you ask a question and you can tell they're not interested in giving any information, then you're done at that point. But oftentimes, we move into that, and we learn things about each other. Where do you live? What do you do? And those kind of things. And the next step that happens is is vulnerability. That's the next step that happens, where you start to talk about more than just who your family is or where you're from, and you start to open up a little bit more, and you have to be willing to open up and to tell how you feel about some things, or you just become more personal about your conversations, and you start letting down your walls because you're making yourself vulnerable. And one of two things happens at that point. Either we're rejected or we're accepted. And this is one of the things we need to think about as we move into relationships with each other, how quickly we either accept or reject. Because, let me just write that on there before I go any farther. If we're rejected, then there's three things that start to happen. We start to shut down. If someone makes fun of what we say, we start to shut down. And we become impenetrable. And right after that, superficial. We go right back to where we start, and we don't take it any farther. If someone gets laughed at, you get scorned. We don't want that to happen again. So our natural response is to begin to shut this relationship down and not go there again, because we don't want that pain. We want that happening to us. And we have to start building a wall so that other people don't hurt us anymore, and we become superficial. And unfortunately, if we stay in this state, we become lonely and isolated. And that's not the way God wants our relationships to be. That's not a good solution, but it happens all the time. And sometimes this happens even after we've been over in the other camp for a while. Sometimes we can end up moving over here because situations come up and we feel rejected. So this isn't always something that just happens initially as you open up. But the other option when we make ourselves vulnerable is we are accepted. We're accepted. We open up, and the other person opens up too, and we talk more about how we feel and how life is going, and we become sincere. We look each other in the eye, and we begin to trust each other, and we begin to grow into a closer relationship. The next step after acceptance is self-disclosure. We move into self-disclosure, where we start talking about our lives and the things that are important, our hopes, our fears, our desires. I feel, I think, I am are a part of this. And we become known and understood. Maybe I should have put this over farther so you could see it. You become known and understood, because the more we open up to each other, the more other people know us, and the more we understand and know each other. And you can see this is creating a completely different path. And the more we want to shut down and be impenetrable and not let people into our lives, the more superficial all these things become. And there's going to be a lot more misunderstandings on this side, where we don't allow our relationships to go deep, than there is when we open up and enjoy each other's presence. And the next step that happens here is agape love. Which is simply a love with no strings attached. We move into relationships where we love no matter what. There's no strings attached anymore, because a relationship has grown so deep that we love. And if somebody does something, we understand he's just having a bad day, and he's not really meaning to come across that way. And tomorrow he won't be that way. And so we give him grace and we move on because we love that person. And sure enough, tomorrow he isn't that way. And some days he's doing that for me. It's not based on anything. It's not conditional anymore. And it grows deeper and deeper. And the thing that starts to happen with a relationship like this is we move on to other things. And the step after that, it could be written down there, is other disclosure, where we open up more and more and more. And there's some things you don't find out about someone until years down the road. You might not find out till 5 years into the relationship something that happened in their youth, because they don't open up about it till it gets a long ways down the road. And you can understand more why they are where they are because of something that happened. Maybe they lost a grandparent or something else happened in their youth that really affected their life. And we begin to open up about deeper and deeper things. And that brings us together. And we become more unified. Unity is another step that comes after that. And what begins to happen after that is our witness becomes more and more effective as a body of Christ moves and works together. We become more and more effective with each other. Our witness becomes more effective because people around us see this working, how God expects it to be working. And it's so different from the relationships that they have with people themselves. And they're attracted to that kind of thing because relationships in the world are so broken. Does all this stuff really matter to us? And yes, it does really matter to us. And it's really, really painful when it's not. How can we get back to where we need to be? Well, let's be willing to open up to each other and put ourselves out to each other and to love each other no matter what and see where that takes us. It's all about serving God. I have no idea what you're facing or what you're going through in your congregation. And I hope there's nothing bad going on, but I know that as humans, it can, and we have to keep working on these things. Maybe it's with your spouse, maybe it's with a child, maybe it's a parent or a brother or a neighbor or in some other way. Let's keep on being willing to make ourselves vulnerable and love each other and build each other up. Let's kneel for prayer.